Today on the Because Family podcast, I'm going to talk about video game addiction. Hello, welcome to the Because Family podcast. I'm Michael Prince, and I'm happy to be here to just chat with you a little bit about some questions that I've received about video games and the potential dangers of video games and the addiction that's possible, addictive tendencies of young men, especially playing video games, the kidult issues that we see with our young men growing up and not really growing up. And I want to address some of that with some thoughts and maybe opinion, but also some research that I've done, some statistics and some things that are available to help you understand how we categorize this and how we look at these things, especially the addictions side of it. Before I dig too deep into that, though, I always have to do this business stuff at the top of the show because this is how we keep going. If you go to patreon.com/becausefamily, you can sponsor these episodes for $5, $10 a month. It'd be really, really helpful. If you don't want to do that, if you'd rather just give to our ministry, go to becausefamily.org/partnership. That's where you can just donate directly to our ministry through the Assemblies of God or through Square or PayPal or something like that. And then if you want to just do something to help yourself while helping us, you can check out our affiliate links. We've got one on there where you can buy clothing for your kids that is 100% cotton, primary color clothing, really cool, something we've been shopping at a lot. We also have MobiSip and Accountable to You, a couple of parental control options that are very helpful, and they work on Google Chrome for Chromebooks. So the stuff that your kids get from schools, these things work on there, so we recommend them. AccountableToYou.com, and then you can use the promo code BecauseFamily to save yourself the first month and give us 15% every time you make a payment. So that's super helpful if you want to do that to help us keep going. Done with the business in under 2 minutes. Yes, I'm happy about that. So let's dive right into the content, to what you're listening to. Video games have become one of the leading forms of entertainment for the generation X, generation Y, the Xennial and Millennials. This has become, Xennial is a new thing, by the way. It's me, actually. Between 1977 and 1985, you're not a Millennial or Generation X. You are an Xennial. And so, congratulations, you're an Xennial. And anyway, We play these games, we enjoy them, it's part of our entertainment, it's our escapism, it's a way we get away, it's how we hang out with friends, it's how we, especially your kids, they spend time with their friends playing games online. And I want to first off explore why video games can become so attractive to young men especially. There are young ladies who play a lot of video games, and there are young ladies who get addicted to video games. There are young ladies who play video games professionally and get paid to do well playing video games. I'm not saying that young ladies aren't a part of this message or this story. I'm just focusing on young men because I've had recent conversations with some dads especially who are concerned about their young men and how much time they spend playing video games. So to start off, I want to tell you the story of the young man that I'm talking about, a 16-year-old young man. His dad comes to me and says, "Hey, Michael, I'm dealing with my son who drives me crazy because he's 16 and all he wants to do is play Call of Duty. He sits in there with his Xbox after school, and on Saturdays and Sundays after church, he's just playing Xbox, and he plays way too much." And so my first thought was, okay, how much is too much? Because some dads, you know, if you're not out doing something, that you play games for 2 hours, it's too much. You're wasting your life, you know? And I would argue that that's not necessarily the case. But this kid was doing about 14 hours a day on the weekends and 4 or 5 hours into the night, not sleeping well on the weekdays after school. And to that, I would say that's excessive. And so I, you know, told him some some philosophical concepts, like, you know, we got to raise our kids the way that they should go. We got to guide them, you know, as their brain develops. We have to help them make good choices and learn what's healthy. We have to do that. And we have to be comfortable with doing that because they're going to be our kids as grown-ups much longer than they are our kids as children and teenagers. We're going to be their parents and have a relationship with them beyond this struggle of raising them. So we want to make good choices now so that relationship someday can be happy and healthy and whole. And so I told him those things, but I didn't know for sure what's going on in the culture and society, in that stuff. I didn't know what was happening with with the video game stuff and addiction and where that is standing in our society, if people are seeing that. And so I didn't have any of that info to give him, but I have it now. I've done some digging. I've learned some stuff that I'm very excited and a little surprised to know now that I'm going to share with you on the podcast. So first off, though, to explain, kind of help you understand how somebody can get addicted to video games, let me remind you of when you were young. If you're a dad, especially, a lot of you young women who are moms probably did the same thing. You sat and you played Mario, or you played video games with your friends, and you all hung out together and you played games and you took turns, or you watched somebody play who was better than you, and you enjoyed that, and it was fun, and it was part of being together, and you felt accomplishment because you beat a game or you made it a ways into the game, and it was really cool. I remember doing that as a young man, getting together playing Halo with my friends. We would get our Xboxes and put them all together and do what's called a LAN party. LAN stands for local area network, and so we'd build a local area network by putting network cables in all our Xboxes connecting, and my nerd is showing, and then we'd play Halo against each other and shoot each other, but not really each other, just the guys on the screen, and it was super fun, and we had a good time, and we were young men, just doing what young men do. Then I'd have friends, and we'd do it until 6 in the morning. Like, we'd start at 9 p.m. or 10, and then we'd play until 6 in the morning, and it felt like 30 minutes. Time just flew by, and if we ate anything, it was in between rounds when we weren't playing. If we kept winning, we just kept playing, didn't break unless we just had to go to the bathroom or something. And so that's just how it was. And so that's what video games do to you. They just suck your time away. And before you know it, it's been so long and you just been playing this game and you didn't know. Movies do the same thing. Excuse me. The difference is movies end. You know, movies come to an end like video games used to. You used to beat a game and it was over and that's it. But now they've added what they call replayability to these games by adding multiplayer. So since you can go on and play online with your friends and just play all the time, it's fun. And you get to do that whenever you want. And the game doesn't get old because the experience is different every time, because you're playing with your friends or with people that you know from across the country or people you've just met on the game who live everywhere in the world. You're just playing this game with them. And time flies. You don't realize you've been playing for 6 hours, 14 hours, and all of a sudden, you know, it's time to shut it down. Everybody else has to go. And you look back and go, oh my goodness, I spent a lot of time playing that game. Well, that's what our kids do, and it's very easy to do that. And this is how they're hanging out. You know, our young men especially, this is how they're hanging out with their friends. They're wearing the headphones with the microphone. They're chatting. They're shooting their, you know, gang. They've got their clans or their guilds or their whatever, and they're working together to accomplish the goals, whether it's just cleaning the map of enemies or capturing the flags or capturing the checkpoints or whatever it is in the game, depending on what they're playing. They're doing that together, accomplishing something, playing a game together, hanging out, having fun. On the surface, all in all, that's probably fine, right? It's probably okay. It's not a big deal. The issue comes when some warning signs show up. And before I get into the warning signs, let me clarify that there are psychologists, psychiatrists, and the like, who do not believe behavioral addiction should be diagnosable thing. They don't believe that they should be treating behavioral addictions as they do chemical addictions or something like that. So that includes gambling. It includes sex addiction or pornography addiction, and it also includes video game addiction. So there are psychologists out there who are saying, "This we've got to be careful. We can't call this addiction. It doesn't work the same way regular addiction does." And from a few of the articles I read, and these are like Journal of Psychology articles, not just like a blog post somewhere, but from some of the articles I read, most of the men and women who don't think about this as a real clinical addiction, it's because when they look at addiction, they see, and this is my non-psychologist, psychiatrist's mind talking about it, but they see it, an addiction, as something that once you get to a point that you don't want to do it anymore, but you continue to do it because you just can't stop, even though you've decided you don't want to, that is an addiction. So drugs and chemical addictions do that to you. But they say that most behavioral addictions, that they never get to that point. A sex addict always has that urge and desire, not just a carnal chemical reaction inside them that says, I have to have it or I will possibly die and go through withdrawals, but just this psychological want for it. And same with video games. You know, if they can change their behavior on their own without a psychologist because it's not the same as a chemical addiction. Now, psychologists and psychiatrists and clinical counselors who do believe, and there's many of them, do believe that it is a real addiction, behavioral addiction exists. These guys, I'm sorry if I'm getting nerdy on you, but this is cool information, I think, for parents. These guys and gals, who think this, that it is real, they're going to tell you they think it exists because the chemicals that are released in your brain are as strong or stronger than the chemicals you introduce to your body through illegal substances or alcohol or something like that. And so they're saying, well, the dopamine that is released, the adrenaline that's released from playing a first-person shooter game, or the sense of reward that you get from completing a task in a game releases chemicals in your brain that makes you happy, and those chemicals are addictive. And so that is why they're addicted to playing the game, because their brain has been altered to use that method to attain that chemical release that they desire. And so their first thing they're going to do is play more of the game and play more of the game and play more of the game. And so they say, yes, there is such a thing as video game addiction, or behavioral addictions is what they call it. And video games would fall into that category. The other things that fall into that category, like I said, are gambling, sex addiction, anything like that. That's something that's behavioral, not something you're introducing to your body chemically to alter the way your mind thinks. So, having said all that, let's look at some of the signs of addiction, and then I'll talk about how they treat it, and then that'll be all for the show. But some of the signs that your kid might be addicted to video games are, number one, they lose track of how long they've been playing. So you say, how long do you think you've been playing that game? And they say, oh, 3 or 4 hours. And you're like, no, it's been 12 hours. They lose track of how much time they've been spending doing it. Number two, their relationships are suffering. Their social life is suffering, just like any addiction. They're not friends with those people that they used to be friends with anymore. And you're like, but you used to really hang out all the time. Well, we're not really friends. That kind of stuff. Now, some of that stuff just happens as you grow up, but some friendships, there should be sticking out. And so you need to pay attention to that as well. Also, they lose sleep. They don't sleep well. Even when they do go to bed at a decent time, they don't sleep like they should. They don't eat like they should, or they rush through a meal to get back to playing the games, something like that. So they're probably not satisfied eating like they normally would have been, especially a teenage boy. If he just sits down and eats one helping of whatever it is you made and doesn't ask for more and doesn't act like he's stuffed to the gills before he leaves, there might be a problem, right? And so that's an issue. Also, if schoolwork responsibilities are suffering, if he can't hold a job because he's always late, or he's calling in sick a lot to play game, and he ends up playing video games, or if he's missing school or just doing worse at school and his homework's not getting done, that's a sign of an addiction. Another major sign of addiction is family relationships. You know, if you're constantly having to fight with them about how much time they spend, and it's an issue, and they get. You know, physically noticeably bothered by you saying, man, don't you think you're spending a little too much time playing that game, or they don't even want to have the conversation, that's a sign that they could be addicted to video games. Now, one or two of these signs could just be they're a teenager and there's something you love and you're trying to talk to them about not doing it as much. But if there's a big long list of these things that you're going, man, this could be a real issue, then you might want to consider having a conversation with them about it. Because like I said, many psychologists and psychiatrists really do think that this is a real clinically diagnosable addiction problem that they need to get fixed. And here's how they do it. They treat it like a gambling addiction. They do some of the same stuff they do with gambling. And so what's going to happen is you're going to find, if you need to get professional help, if you think you need to get professional help because you've tried everything and you can't figure out how to help them, and you can convince them to go somewhere or drag them somewhere, then you're going to want to find somebody who specializes in behavioral addiction. That's the term you're going to want, behavioral addiction. And you're going to want to take them to somebody who can, who's probably going to use the same kind of approach they would with a gambling addict, because gaming falls into that category. Makes sense. And so, so you're going to want to take them to somebody to do that. You know, most guys, most pastors and people like that, they're not really going to be equipped or qualified to help with this type of issue or addiction, because they may not understand it well enough. A lot of times you get the simple, well, just stop, take the Xbox away, you know, or stop it. And then that's another sign, actually, is if you try to take it away and you find them sneaking around to get time on it, they can't spend a week off of it because you're disciplining them. They literally cheat on you. They sneak out to go to a friend's house or something. That's a sign of a problem, that sort of thing. So again, one or two of these things, it's like, well, that's not good. Maybe you need to really crack down on the discipline and help them fix it. A whole long list of all this stuff happening. They're not eating well. They're not sleeping well. They quit. Oh, another big one is they quit activities they used to love. So one of the best baseball players on the team, and then all of a sudden just doesn't want to play anymore, possibly an addiction, you know? And a lot of these signs are the same things as it would be with any other addiction, right? So it's kind of not a no brainer. I don't want to say it's a no brainer because, you know, you have to pay attention, but it's kind of, once you think about it, it can become kind of obvious. Okay. What does this look like? Somebody who's addicted to something. And, so there are psychologists out there, psychiatrists who want to help this kind of thing. So you're going to look for somebody who deals in behavioral addictions, and they're probably going to treat them like they're addicted to gambling, and they're gonna do stuff like baby steps to help them gain recovery. Not cold turkey, but hey, let's try to limit your gaming from 14 hours a week to 9 hours a week or seven. Let's cut it in half. Wow, that's crazy. Not a week, but a day, like a weekend. And so that kind of thing is what they're going to try to do. And it's going to be important that you go along with them and you help them. And you are a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. You're not trying to battle your kids all the time. So that's going to be very important. So anyway, I've talked on and on and on about video game addiction. I hope this helps some folks. And man, if you know somebody who has never heard the Because Family podcast before and you're liking what we're doing, please send them a copy. Send them a link to this so they can listen to this copy that I uploaded to the internet. And let them, I'm a tech guy, I know how tech things work. Jeez. And you can kind of share some of this knowledge and some of the information, because video game addiction can be a real thing. And I think there's a lot of young men who are dealing with it. And there's only one way to help, and that's to know about it. So share this with your friends. Help them know about it. Thank you for listening. Again, becausefamily.org is where you're going to learn all about us. becausefamily.org/partnership is going to learn how you can support us. Familytechblog.com is where you will read all the latest stuff. In fact, I did a review of Call of Duty World War II, the latest Call of Duty first-person shooter game that came out for Xbox and PlayStation 4. So check it out at familytechblog.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Because Family podcast.